In today's gospel, Mary obediently accepts God's will for her. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Jesus of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good afternoon, everyone.
Deacon Doug.
There was once a famous engineer who was confined to his bed because he had a rare illness that robbed him of the use of his legs. But since he had such a great reputation, he was commissioned to draw the blueprints for a great suspension bridge in New York City. He decided to do that, create that blueprint, and after a couple of months, it was completed, and he sent it for construction. 2 years later, the bridge was done, and when it was done, the friends of the engineer helped him into his wheelchair. He went up to the roof of his apartment building, and there, he could look out over the greatest skyline in the world and see his bridge. Tear went down his eye and joyfully exclaimed, "It's just like the plan." Jesus is coming to us in this Advent season, and he's looking for a response to his plan. He's looking for those who are willing to follow God's plan. He's knocking on the door of our hearts, and he's asking if there is room. Do you really want me in your life? Do you want the joy that only I can give you? Today, hours from Christmas, we need to answer that question seriously. Is my heart open to God? Do I really want to live the joy of Christ? And if we say yes, which I hope we all do, then we need to ask ourselves a further question. How do I open the door of my heart to Christ? Do I want to really live his plan? The answer is so simple, yet it seems so difficult. I have to seek God's will and want to live his will. I once listened to a YouTube talk from a Beatitude Community nun, Sister Emmanuel Maillard, and she talked about growing up in her family and how they dealt with suffering in such a Catholic family. And her mother and her father and her grandparents always said when something happened, "It's just the will of God." So when her dog got hit by a car, her parents said, "Well, that's the will of God." When her father lost his job, their parents said, "Don't worry, it's just the will of God." Even when her aunt had cancer, they said, "Don't worry, it's the will of God." By the time she was 20 years old, she said, "I hated the will of God." And maybe this is true for us too. The will of God sounds demanding, it sounds frightening. But in today's gospel, the final Sunday of Advent, we meet a woman who at every turn of her life completely lives the will of God. She lives the plan of God. For this reason, we call her blessed, perfectly filled with peace, joy, and the love of God. It's important to remember that God's plan will interrupt her life. It will interrupt her plans. God's plan will disrupt her marriage betrothal to Joseph, casting skeptical looks from family and neighbors. God's plan will put her life in danger. God's plan will send this teenage pregnant mother hurrying from her home to the hill country of Judah. But in today's gospel, the angel Gabriel asks this trembling woman to embrace the will of God. He tells her, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." The Lord is with you? In the coming days, you will nearly lose your husband. Your neighbors will be gossiping about you. You'll be sent on a journey far from home. And the Lord is with you. At the moment you're about to give birth, you'll be sent to a strange, unwelcoming town and be turned out and rejected by the people of that town. Your son will be born into the freezing cold like a homeless person. And the Lord is with you? You'll watch your son grow up and leave you. You'll watch him be rejected and despised. You'll witness your son beaten and hanging on a cross like a murderer. And the Lord is with you. From a human point of view, it sure doesn't look like the Lord is with you. How can you be so sure? How can you utter, "Be it done to me according to your word," if only you knew what was coming? But you couldn't know. You could only see the long road ahead. You could not see the plan. But you could only say, "Yes, Lord, I know you're with me. I believe in you." And we know that the truth, that in every single instance of her life, every sorrow and every trial, Mary made the decision to show God how much she loved him. She said, "Yes, Lord, I'll bear this too. If you want this, I want this. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are with me." And with each yes, Mary was transformed. Though her face was marked by human suffering, it radiated divine love. Because to be chosen by God means to have both a crown of joy and a crown of sorrow at the exact moment. And so what about us? Are we really seeking to live the will of God? Do we see God's will in our family? Do we see God's will at work and the decisions we make at work and school and our community? What we put into our bodies, the language we use, the programs that we watch, do we really seek God's will in our daily choices? And do we see God's will in the trials and suffering that we face during the course of our life? Because there is a great temptation, and we all know what that temptation is, that what I want is what God wants. And what God doesn't want for me, I don't want for me either. This is a lie, and we know it's a lie. It's born in the pride of a rebellious heart, because the truth in many times is, I really don't want to do the will of God. I want to do my will, and I'll find reasons any way possible to do what I want. I want to live according to the world's expectations. You and I both know that that will never bring you everlasting joy. I cannot think of a single moment in my life when I rejected the will of God that it ever brought me true joy. It may have brought me some laughter, you know, maybe some pleasure, but it was temporary. It truly wasn't the love and joy of God that he wants from us. And we must remember that God's will is not our will, but God's will is so much better because it's based on love. As Christians, we're living in a world and culture that's far from the will of God, so far from the spirit of what Christmas is about. As we begin these few final hours of preparation, let's enter deeply into prayer, true prayer. Take a moment to avoid the busyness and the rush that comes with this season. And let's stay close to our Blessed Mother, who comes to meet us with a newborn child, our Savior. If we seek the will of God, we'll find the joy of Christ. And no matter what God asks of us, one day we'll come into the glory of heaven. We'll look back upon that wandering road of our lives, on that blueprint that we could never see, and we'll state with a tear in our eye and joyful amazement, it's just like the plan. May God bless you.